It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels. And we are very, very happy to have Noah and the Whale here today. Charlie and Tom speaking with me. Welcome, guys.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you back. Last album, it was an early morning. You guys came right off the bus, nattily dressed, I must say. Professional, like few I've witnessed. I know this is a band that takes everything it does seriously, and I certainly applaud you for that. Today, we're a little more relaxed and comfortable, which is good too.
It's true, although, you know, people can't see, so they could believe that we're wearing top hats and canes right now.
Handsome, you know? handsome lads, always dressed impeccably, and certainly in being less than jocular and being serious, this is a very smart band. With a great, sincere purpose. Heart of Nowhere, the latest effort. I noticed, you know, coming from Last Night on Earth to this one, and the records preceding Last Night on Earth, it sounds like, and this is a question, you seem to want to inject some of the energy of the live shows, and you did. I was, my first reaction was, wow. You know, the energy level of this record is elevated. Was that intent?
Well, definitely. I mean, this is actually, I think, the longest we've held the same lineup for. Because we've had now, it's coming up to 3 years now that we've had the same five people. And before then, it would change every now and again. And I think it was a mixture of that and the fact that we toured Last Night on Earth for so long, that we spent so much time playing together. You build up sort of an intuition, I guess, as a band that you can only get that way.
Right.
And we felt, you know, we should capture that.
So there was the chemistry that by having a nuclear unit for a while, and then the fact that the more you played and the more you played, you too probably understood there was the live shows and how the songs were represented in that context. And now in the studio, and there's the never-ending search of, how do we combine our live show's energy with the studio and all you can do there?
Yeah. And it's also, you know, because we did record the album live. We did it live to tape. And that's like a different challenge as well for the band. You know, every record we've done, we've tried to do something we haven't done before. And that felt like something new, a new way to challenge ourselves. And it's a new discipline as well. Like when you record that way, there's a thing our engineer was saying that, you know, if you're recording to 24-track tape, you have to earn your place on the tape. You know, each track has to earn its place there, you know, which I like.
You're not going to get potted up unless you're playing, singing, or performing something impeccably.
Exactly.
You'll be down in the mix.
Yeah. Exactly. But that, you know, it obviously lends itself to a degree of simplicity that you can so easily overlook in modern song production.
She likes brandy and the way it hits her lips. She's a rock and roll survivor with pendulum hips. She's got deep brown eyes that have seen it all. Working in like all those Carvey Avenue, the barman used to call her little Lisa Looney Tunes. She went down on almost anyone. And from the hard time living till the Chelsea days, from when her hair was sweet blonde till the day I turned gray, she said L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. Got more of the money and sense, my friend. You got heart and you go in your own way. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. What you don't have now will come back again. You got heart and you go in your own way. People wear their history like a map on their face, and Joey was an artist just living at a case, but his best work were his letters home. Extended works of fiction about imaginary success, when chorus girls on neon were his closest thing to friends, but to a writer, truth is no big deal. And from the hard time living to the sleepless nights and the black and blue body from the weekend fights, you go L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. Got more of the money and sense, my friend. You got heart and you're going your own way. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N, what you don't have now will come back again. You got heart, and you're going your own way. On my last night on earth, I won't look to the sky. I'll just breathe in the air, blink in the light. On my last night on earth, I pay a high price to have no regrets and be done with my life. I go L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. Got more of the money and sense, my friend, you got heart, and you go in your own way. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N, what you don't have now will come back again. You got heart, and you go in your own way. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N, got more than money and sense, my friend, you got heart, and you go in your own way. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N, what you don't have now will come back again. You got heart, and you go in your own way.
On this new record, you also tapped into Anna Calvi.
That's right, yeah.
Who's, you know, obviously taken the UK by storm and is becoming in America. How did that friendship association come together?
Well, she actually, we were playing Glastonbury, I think it was the summer before we made the record. And I'd been a big fan of her album. I think I'd probably said in a bunch of interviews how much I liked it. And she came up to us to tell us she was a fan of our record at Glastonbury, and we had a little chat. And so when we wrote that song, The Heart of Nowhere, which is the second song on the album, it kind of really suited. It was a kind of a duet, you know. It had like two angles to the story, and we thought, wouldn't it be great to have a girl sing it? And she was the first person we thought of and said yes.
Oh, yeah, you know what? That is a good kismet experience.
Yeah.
First of all, you got at Glastonbury, you were both playing. And second of all, a mutual admiration, which is nice. And third of all, a song that was waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Cheers on that one.
The stars aligned.
Hey, let's be glad. There's something that, now we were just talking about, you know, I'm the old guy in the room. So obviously when I hear something along this caliber, I'm gonna evangelize it to our audience. You had an idea upon the release, right before the release of this record in the UK, to have like a scavenger hunt in which, if I remember, you hid, was it six cassettes?
That's right, yeah.
Cassettes.
Yeah.
Oh, do tell. Cassettes, by all means. I must hear this story.
So that's what we did. Yeah, we had, so basically we had six cassettes that had the album on with handmade artwork that we sent out to six different record stores around the UK. And we sent like really sort of, I guess, enigmatic photos of the record store, so you couldn't really tell what it was, and people had to work out where the tapes were from those photos.
So they had to be profilers.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And then each one had a code that unlocked the album on the internet for everyone. So it was, you know, it was doing the, I mean, because that's what most bands do, is sort of traditional streaming of an album before it comes out. We thought it would be fun to take that idea and then add like a, because like we were talking about, has that slightly nostalgic element to the album, you know. And for some reason in my head, like, I definitely associate my teenage years with cassette tapes, you know.
Well, and the friend, you needed the friend to bring it over and to unlock it in the basement.
Exactly,
you guys literally
sent
out, you will be the chosen ones. It's like it's like Willy Wonka. You got the gold ticket.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, see, now that idea, whilst it certainly recognized and accommodated the current, you know, delivery systems, it added that sense of, on a couple levels, you know, real fans are going to go out and be the ones that figure out where it is and seek them out. But it was also sending real fans to record stores, which is always, you know, I think an admirable and laudable experience, because again, how many people go and peruse through a record store as opposed to click, click,
click. Exactly. And you always find, you get real ownership of a record when you buy it in a record store in a different way. You know what I mean? When you buy something on online, it's
tangible.
It's kind of like, okay, yeah, there it is. It's on my thing. I'll listen to it at some point. But if it's like a record that you found for yourself and not many people have heard of or something, and you take it home and it's yours, you know, you feel like you really own it, you know?
What can we tell the audience about tonight and what to expect and let's invite them out. Let's talk about the show and how it's been going and how you're being received in America. How does it feel and what are they in for tonight?
It's been absolutely fantastic. This is the sixth date of this tour. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be the best tour we've done. Like, honestly, that it's, I guess we haven't been to America for a while. It's been 2 years, I think, since we toured
about
here.
A year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we stopped in here
it
on
was
the last
right
tour.
When I started almost. Yeah, because this room wasn't open yet. So it was about 2 years.
And I think that's the thing that sometimes when you, I don't know if you go away for a while, people miss you a little bit. It just seems like the shows, the connection we've had with the audience and the sort of spirit in the room has just been really, really amazing. And we actually had 2 nights ago in San Francisco, we had a couple get engaged during the show. You know, we got like an email from this guy who was like saying that our band had been a big, big thing between him and his girlfriend, and they'd named their cat after our band, and they requested, and we did it, and it was so effective. We're thinking of having a plant in the audience tonight, you know, sort of a fake engagement, but
get our tour manager to go and propose to some unwitting girl. So.
Yeah.
Well, we can put it out there that if there are any know in the way of fans, that,
looking for love,
we've been waiting to pop the question.
Now's the
You've
night.
Just heard that you know you have an opportunity to do it in a grander style than getting just down on one knee, which, by the way, is always encouraged.
Yeah.
But, you know, it can be celebrated with a few more of your friends, and you won't have to hold a reception or anything. It'll just be an Owen the Whale concert. So there you have it. There's another angle to play. We'll get every prospective married couple.
Yeah, future fiancés.
All the people who've been waiting for the right environment, we'll give them that opportunity tonight. It's the ideal place to pop the question.
maybe set a record while we're at it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, now we'll have to do a little bit more pre-planning for that one.
I think that's a good like angle for the band, though. A good reputation to have. The perfect band to get engaged at. You know that's
and set the world record that at some gig in America, you know, 4,000 couples have gathered. we'll make the book of records that way. We'll be in the Guinness Book of Records.
You'll start getting suspicious there. If someone asks you to an Owen the Whale gig, you know, you'll be like, oh, what's your plan here?
It's getting quite kind of
when you see the moment when they're reaching in the pocket. Oh, here it comes. This is our song. He, she, they're gonna do it. We're silly, but it's a wonderful idea. And you guys coming out, it is good to have you back. It's good as we grow, you know, it's good to see your familiar faces and have you share your music with our audience. And we wish the best for you with this new record, of course, Heart of Nowhere, new record. As I mentioned earlier, everything I've come to know and love about Owen the Whale I won't say a newfound energy, but certainly an energy, that was really engaging. And so I recommend it to all of our listeners. And of course, tonight I recommend you heading out to see the band. Charlie, Tom, thanks as always for stopping by KCSN.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.